on Racing HQ. Racing HQ.
Green lights on and they are racing.
Here's On The Pace.
Tiger Tara, who's well out in front with Todd McCarthy. It's Tiger Tara who takes the tab in a Dominion 2018 and in style.
And in style.
And it is 29:11. Let's go On The Pace now. Greg Hayes, good morning.
Good morning to you, Cozzy. We're going to be speaking with Todd McCarthy this morning about Tiger Tara. He's going to be our first guest after the performance on Saturday night, not this time in the Inter Dominion, but this time in the Hunter Cup. Tiger Tara was simply fantastic, and he has now won the Victoria Cup. He's won the Inter Dominion, and he's won the Hunter Cup all in the space of a season. And with that win in the Hunter Cup on Saturday night, he locks up the Grand Circuit title for the season. There are still two races to go, the Miracle Mile and also the Blacks of Fake, but he's already been able to secure the Grand Circuit title. And Kevin Pizzuto on Saturday night suggesting that the Newcastle Mile may have been a target, reading in the last 12 hours that has changed. He won't be going there, but Kevin saying that he's going there with Major Dan, the stablemate, and Pickard, the four-year-old, who's already qualified for the Chariots of Fire after his win on Saturday night in the Hondo Grattan. Now, interesting that the winner of the Newcastle Mile cannot compete again to the Miracle Mile. So, don't know what would happen if Pickard was to win the Newcastle Mile on Friday night. But obviously, Kevin Pizzuto will cross that bridge if the horse wins. So, we're waiting for that field for the Newcastle Mile to come out. That'll be later today. The field for the Paleface Adios is out. Now, that barrier draw has been released as well by Harness Racing New South Wales. Couple of big omissions. One is Colt 31. Spoke with Grant Dixon this morning about why the horse isn't here. Grant saying nothing wrong. He's just not prepared to bring the horse down, knowing that he probably has to run 148 and a piece to win the race. He doesn't think that the horse is ready for it, and basically would have to go a similar time to win the Chariots of Fire, and for that reason he's not bringing the horse to Sydney. He will concentrate on the Queensland Sire Stakes, and then concentrate on the Winter Carnival. So that is the reason that there's no Colt 31. There's obviously no other runners from the Emma Stewart stable either. They're basically going in, or they are going into the Chariots of Fire with just the one runner. So we're only going to see one horse out of the Emma Stewart stable, that is Poster Boy. And the field is this. You've got Rack'em'up Tiger Pie in one, Chase Auckland in two, Mackerels in three, Cowboys and Indians, who is the second emergency, has drawn four. Jack Farthing in five. Little Peanut is in six. He was brilliant in winning in Victoria last week. Franco Landry is in seven for Tim Butt. I was out at his stable yesterday recording a piece for next week's In the Gig show. We're back on In the Gig tonight. Royal Gamble has drawn eight. All You Need Is Faith is nine. Ignatius is in 10. We'll speak with James Rattray on the show later today. Spankham has drawn 11. And Boyd Ryder has drawn 12. So that's the field for the Paleface Adios Stakes. Now, the way it works, you've got Poster Boy already in from winning the four-year-old Bonanza into the Chariots of Fire. The first four past the post on Saturday night from the Hondo Grattan qualify. So that gives you five. The first four past the post from the Paleface Adios on Saturday night will qualify. That gives you nine. Now, that 10th spot, it will be a showdown between the two fifth-placed horses from the Paleface Adios and the Hondo Grattan, and it will come down to which horse has won more prize money in their four-year-old season. Okay, now Royal Gamble ran fifth on Saturday night in the Hondo Grattan and has won $26,000, something like that. So Chase Auckland hasn't won anywhere near that. So if Chase Auckland was to run fifth on Saturday night in the Paleface Adios, Royal Gamble would get that 10th spot. That is the condition that was set out in the Chariots of Fire when the race was gazetted earlier in the season. I think the Menangle Club need to change that. I think they should use their discretionary powers. They do it with the Miracle Mile. They basically pick the last couple of spots. And I think there's enough smart gentlemen on that committee, on that board, that they should be picking that 10th and final spot, and it shouldn't be coming down to prize money. If a horse gets knocked over and a big name like a Chase Auckland or an Ignatius or a Spankham, then they should have the power to be putting that horse into the field. It shouldn't be coming down to a horse that's won more prize money than another in the four-year-old season. But that's just my opinion. It'll be interesting to see what happens on Saturday night, who gets that 10th and final spot. Anyway, let's have a chat with Todd McCarthy. Todd, of course, is the driver of the very talented Tiger Tara, who now has added another big, big race to his ever-bulging trophy cabinet. And he added the Hunter Cup to that on Saturday night with an outstanding display of staying. Todd McCarthy, good morning to you.
Morning, Hazy.
Mate, congratulations. Victoria Cup, Inter Dominion, and now a Hunter Cup. And there is no doubt that Hunter Cup win on Saturday night was clearly his best performance. He just ground his opposition into the dust. What was it like sitting behind him?
Yeah, he seems to... it's like he's getting better. We've had a terrific season with him, and he the more he starts pulling away from the field, he's turning into a bit of a habit.
He just went further and further in front. I thought the second horse was pretty brave, and our Uncle Sam stuck with you for a fair way, but once the elastic broke turning for home, Tiger just looked... Just looked to be in a league all of his own.
I sort of thought our Uncle Sam just getting the cozy trip on my back, he was probably going to be my main danger throughout. And I thought he's running the Inter Dominion was really well. But I think just that solid tempo and Tiger was sort of really able to show his class there on Saturday.
What does Kev say to you? Does he give you any instructions at all? Obviously, he tells you that the horse has had a good week and the horse is 100% ready to go. But... you know, there was a fair bit made pre-race that there was going to be some earlier moves than we saw in the Inter Dominion, and the All-Stars team weren't going to let you get away with what they did in the Inter Dominion, and they were going to come around and put the pressure on early. So does Kev say to you, run, just run him, make them chase you, or is that all, you know, is that all you?
Not really. Sort of, you know, we talk about the race a little bit, but we both have the same opinion that when you're out there, you've just sort of got to drive it as it comes and drive it as the horse feels. And I said to him, you know, I think we can just, as long as I can just keep him happy and keep him rolling sort of even quarters, I think he'll give us a good 600 still.
And was he feeling strong with a lap to go?
He did. He felt really strong with a lap to go. Just sort of down the back heading into the turn, I'd sort of just shake him up and start wind him up a bit and get him going a bit quicker. And Nat on the outside, you know, started feeling the pinch a bit, and I could feel Uncle Sam was still breathing right down my neck at that stage. And I was sort of thinking, oh, I didn't sort of know how he was travelling. But then once I kicked the plugs and us Tiger that little bit more, he just goes to that next gear for you.
What about, he's obviously a superb stayer, there's no doubt. And as he's got older and you know, maybe a couple of seasons of chasing horses like Lazarus and that has really just brought him into his own. And now he's just, you know, a supreme athlete and clearly the best horse that we've got at the moment over a staying trip in the Southern Hemisphere. Coming back to a mile, what about that? Can he do that? Can he win a miracle mile?
I think so. He feels to me, you know, as funny as it sounds, as he gets older, he's like he's getting faster as well, and he's getting off the gate better, and he just feels as though he's covering the ground a little better too. Like he, a couple starts back there at Menangle over the mile, we got home in 26.1, and he sort of only just won by maybe a head or so, but it was probably more my fault. I went pretty slow around the turn and let a few others get into it, but I think in a race like the Miracle Mile, where they run them solid quarters over the whole trip, it... I think he'll be right there with them anyway.
Does a horse like him teach you? You know, obviously you've driven nearly 900 winners in your career. Does he teach you anything? Not really.
I think he does. You know, it's one of those things. You're racing them big races, and it is a different perspective to racing normal races. And I think it's you know, it teaches you respect for those sort of horses. Before you get to drive them horses, you sort of, obviously, you don't know a lot about them. And then once you do start driving them, you have a whole lot of, you know, it's a whole another level of respect for those Grand Circuit horses. And not only him, but every other horse that he has to race.
And I know you like your fast cars and everything like that. Is it like driving a a very fast car? Is it? He's just got gears.
It is like driving a fast car, driving a fast horse. You just click them up that little bit, and they go, and it's a pretty awesome feeling.
So now Kev was unsure about the Newcastle Mile. He says that's now off the table. So he goes now to the Miracle Mile qualifiers. Just having a look at some of the other horses you've been driving, for Kev, I know you drove Picard. What's your opinion of him?
I really like Picard first up. He's come back really strong. I think he was 51 first up and 49 last in his last start. So he's probably a pretty serious contender. I think he's going around that Newcastle Mile and then maybe even the Miracle Mile when he gets in. So I think he's got his spot now in the Chariots. And I've got quite a big opinion of him. He's come back fast and strong and pretty attractive too. You can use him early and, you know, he'll come straight back to you, and that's a huge asset.
What he does have is gate speed in spades. Like he can fire off the gate, and he showed that. Obviously, you were at Melton on Saturday night, but he's just got that gate speed that he can put himself on the fence so quickly. Doesn't matter where he draws, and that's such a big you know arrow to have in your quiver at Menangle. You can be in front after you've gone 300 metres, and that's going to help you win a lot of races there.
Yeah, for sure. And as far as point-to-point speed, when the gate goes, he's right up there with one of the fastest horses I've driven off the yarn. You feel like you're attached to it when the gate goes. He's just right there with it, and you're straight across before really having to use too much fuel.
What about after the race on Saturday night? How was Kev? He's a pretty emotional type of character. Does he say much to you after the win?
No, he was good. I think it was you know, Saturday we had the draw, and you know, the expectation was there for the horse to probably do well. So it was a bit of a pressure race, I think. And you know, I think after it, there was obviously a little bit of relief, and we had a couple of drinks later on and celebrated. But no, it was really good, and it was just good that the horse performed when he had to, and everything went to plan.
All right, mate. Well, congratulations on the win. Well done. Enjoy it, because no doubt in a couple of weeks' time there's the Miracle Mile and everything like that, and you're going to be a big star over the carnival. So good luck.
Terrific. Thanks very much, Azy.
There he is, Todd McCarthy. He's come a long way in a short period of time, it's his birthday coming up in a couple of weeks, I think. It's always around this time of year. Remember him enjoying his 21st birthday during an Inter-Dominion series when he had Seal and Print. And of course, he's now enjoying the spoils of being the driver associated with Tiger Tara. But amazing that narrowly beaten in a New Zealand Cup. And to think now that you go on that narrow second, but you can add the Victoria Cup, the Inter-Dominion, and now a Hunter Cup. And the Hunter Cup, if you missed the call, if you didn't see the race and you only saw the last couple of hundred metres, it might be worth going and having a listen to a Dan Malecki's call, because sometimes race callers lift for the big ones, and Dan's call was an absolute ripper. Mentioned the Hondo Grattan on Saturday night, and there were some really good performances. Obviously, we mentioned Picard. Todd was away. Lauren Tritton did the driving, and Lauren burst out of the machine with Picard and got on the fence and was able to lead and dictate. And the horse performed really, really well. 149.4, 26.4, 26.9. But there were some startling performances in defeat. Ashley Locas was locked up, got out late, flashed, beaten a meter. But some of the horses that didn't qualify for the Chariots of Fire were astounding. Ignatius was clocked to run his last 800 in 52.04. They just don't do that. We were talking last week with Mark Purden about Ashley Locas and his final 800 metres in winning when he won the free-for-all. But Ignatius's last 800 was out of this world. He was beaten 10 metres. He ran sixth. He didn't qualify for the Chariots of Fire. So that means he's got to come back this week. We went through the barrier draw for the Paleface Adios. Again, it hasn't been kind. So James Rattray's got a big decision to make. Does he go back and hope for luck and hope that he can steam home and run top four to give himself that that top four finish and give himself that berth in the Chariots of Fire? Or does he put him into the race? James Rattray is joining us on the show. Morning, Jimmy.
Morning, Greg.
Mate, hard to believe you're running those sectionals and running sixth.
Yeah, that's right. He felt great on the night. Couldn't be happier with his run and no result really, but he'll benefit greatly from that, and he's pulled up well and looking forward to this week.
Mate, you must have known that he was low flying over that last 800. You obviously have some indication when you're sitting in the cart that you're going that quick.
Yeah, we had a good week with him, and the first half was only reasonable, and they were going to zip home, and to run home like he did to take that amount of ground off was pretty special.
He obviously, being first up, you don't want to gut him, and from the draw, you were never going to get much luck. This week, there's no safety net. You're on that tightrope without a net. So, do you look to change options, or again from the awkward draw, do you just have to hope for a bit of luck?
He's come out of the run really good, and he'll just benefit from it. And we'll look to get him in there. He's got to run top four, but we'll get him in there.
Is he a horse that normally takes a run or two to come to hand, or is he the sort of horse that he comes to hand pretty quickly?
He comes to hand pretty quickly, and just coming off that run last week, he felt great. Couldn't have him feeling any better to run that half and finish off like he did. He feels ready to man.
And he had obviously a pretty solid grounding because Todd had him down there in Tassie. And gave him a couple of trials before he came up to you up here in New South?
Yeah, that's right. He's been in work a fair while. Hadn't got any races under his belt, but he had two trials down there, and he had a nice trial up here before I raced him last week. And, he just seems really well, and I think we've had pretty good preparation now.
Okay, so you'll, at this stage, fingers crossed, everything going right, you go Hondo, Paleface, Chariots. If everything was to go to plan and he won that, would you step into the Miracle Mile? Is he ready to take on the big boys?
You'd have to see on how his performance was based and everything, but the way he's come back and the way he looks, he's big and strong. You'd definitely think about it.
Yeah, It's a very exciting time, isn't it? This four-year-old crop, it's just so special.
It's very good quality horses and, some really, really good horses that have stepped up to Grand Circuit already and competed well in the Inter-Dominion and everything. So, a good series.
All right, mate. Have you worked out what you're going to do with him past this carnival? Has that even crossed your mind yet, or you just want to get through this?
Oh, we'll get through this first, and he's obviously got Breeders' Challenge later on, and this is his main aim right now. And more than likely, probably just Breeders' Challenge.
All right. Well, his times were mind blowing, out of this world on Saturday night. So you've obviously got him ticking over perfectly. Good luck with the draw or after the draw on Saturday night, and fingers crossed he can get through. From that awkward alley. Good luck.
Thanks, Greg.
There he is, Jimmy Rattray, the trainer of Ignatius. 5204. They put the sectionals up yesterday, late yesterday afternoon, but it was very, very impressive. Still to come this morning, we're going to catch up with Cam Bray from New Zealand Bloodstock. Want to speak with him just to have a bit of a chat about their sale that's coming up and just find out a little bit more about New Zealand Bloodstock, because they're in charge of the sales and obviously pretty important time of year. And I want to have a chat too with Karen Manning this morning and find out a little bit more about Karen, because she was inducted into the Living Legends last week. And it's a real pat on the back for Kieran. She, of course, has been around for a number of years, and she's the most winningest female horse person or female horse person in the world. She's won more races than any jockey or driver, female jockey or driver in the world, and she does a fantastic job. So we're going to catch up with her a little bit later on in the show, but I do want to catch up with Cam Bray this morning from New Zealand Bloodstock and have a chat to him about what's coming up in New Zealand, because obviously New Zealand is a great breeding ground for future stars, and it's a very important time of year with a lot of Australians looking for their next superstar, and a lot of people are looking abroad to find that next star. A lot of people considering heading across to the New Zealand sales to find them. So Cam Bray's joining us to have a chat. Morning, Cam.
Yeah, how are you, Brent?
Really well. Tell us a little bit about New Zealand Bloodstock, because now they are looking after the New Zealand sales, and it's quite an exciting time.
You know, it is, Greg. We've been around with the Karaka sales ground open for a number of years, the thoroughbred, but what I think is exciting for the standardbred business is that we can almost cater for every aspect of bloodstock interest, whether it be in one location with our air freight, insurance and finance divisions all on site, you know.
It is quite exciting. You can easily open accounts. You can register as a buyer online. You can talk to the finance team about credit options as well.
Yep, no, get in touch with Rachel Deegan, our administrator, at racheldeegan@nzb.co.nz. She'll set you all up. So it's just as simple as arriving on the day, getting your sticker and going out and having a look at horses, you know.
Now, the New Zealand Bloodstock will host its inaugural standardbred sale this month?
Correct, yep. We've got 401 yearlings are in our catalogue, over 4 days of action-packed parades and selling in two locations, with Sunday the 17th and Monday the 18th of February being Karaka, and then Tuesday the 19th and Wednesday the 20th down in Christchurch.
Okay, and there'll be bloodlines, there's pacing and trotting sires, and there's the beauty of the catalogue, there's bloodlines, sensational bloodlines, there's siblings to 56 Group 1 winners, as well as a progeny of 19 Group 1 winning dams, so there's some real strength in the catalogue.
Oh, it's a fantastic catalogue to start our foray orphan, the standardbred selling business, with the industry on such a high at the moment, it's very exciting times.
And all of the yearlings offered at the National Standardbred Yearling Sale are eligible for the new Standardbred Harness Million Series?
That's correct, yep. So, as I say, you bid, you buy, and then you're all eligible for that newly formed race series. For the 2 and 3 year olds and older horses, yes.
So that's something quite exciting as well. So people should be getting in contact with Rachel and for more details. Obviously, people should be getting their hands on a catalogue as well. What's Rachel's email address again?
She's rachel.deegan@nzb.co.nz. Rachel, she can assist you with your travel, any hospitality and accommodation bookings, just so we make it nice and simple for everybody. And on the days, we have complimentary shuttle service for all overseas buyers from selected accommodation she can help you out with.
Beautiful. All right. So that's all coming up. Sunday the 17th, Monday the 18th, that's, of course, at Auckland. And then the Christchurch sale, that's Tuesday the 19th and Wednesday the 20th of February.
Yep.
All right, Cam. Looking forward to it. Should be an absolute cracker. New Zealand Bloodstock. They have obviously done a fantastic job with the thoroughbreds, and looking forward to what they do in the standardbreds going forward. Exciting times.
Thanks very much, Greg.
Beautiful, Cam. There is Cam Bray from New Zealand Bloodstock. Exciting times in the world of sales over in New Zealand. Obviously, a changing of the guard over there, and New Zealand, they breed a lot of very nice horses, and Rachel is the person to contact if you are thinking of heading across. rachel.deegan@nzb.co.nz. Rachel spelled rachel.deegan. And you can find out more information. Now we're going to have a chat with Karen. Karen Manning's going to join us. She will be our final guest this morning. And absolutely stoked to hear that Karen Manning was inducted into the Living Legends last week at the barrier draw for the Hunter Cup at the Caduceus Club function at the MCG last Tuesday night. And it was great to hear that Karen was invited along. I'm not too sure whether she knew that she was going to be inducted or not. They normally like to try and keep it all a bit of a secret. And Karen's joining me to have a chat about it. Morning, Kez.
Morning, Greg. How are you?
Really well. Did you realise what was going on when you got there, or had the cat got out of the bag?
No, I'm pretty in the dark. I always wonder when I go to things. And I thought, a bit like the Gordon Mother girl, that was a total surprise. And I thought, because I was too young. But again, same thing. But no, I've got a bit of a slight shock, yeah.
A fantastic honour to be bestowed upon you. And a living legend of the sport at such a young age, has it sunk in? Like, it's, to hold this position in the sport, obviously the most winningest female horse person in the world, won more races than any female jockey or driver in the world, and relatively so young.
Yeah, I guess. I obviously don't feel young most days in the big scale things. It is a fairly young age to be able to achieve some of these things. And yeah, great honour, that's for sure. I was looking at the list of who they had a brochure, on the menu. They had everyone who'd been inducted, and there's a long list of very high profile and people who'd done very well in their careers, and it was lovely to join them. To be the first girl to do it was extra special, and again, the youngest was even better. So, I feel very special to be invited to be on that list.
Does it make all the hard work worthwhile?
Oh, it does, for sure. That's right. As the years go on, it gets harder to win races in the modern era here. And so it sort of makes it extra special to look back on what you've been able to achieve. And they had a package on. They played, and yeah, I got a little bit emotional. It was quite cool to look back on all the old horses, and you forget when you just go about your day-to-day life. And it was really cool to look back on, and felt good.
Does Night Pistol seem like a lifetime ago?
He does, yeah. He certainly, they showed him winning in Norway, and a bit of a snippet of the after race. Pretty extra excited. It's a little bit embarrassing, but it was a pretty emotional time, and it was such, to go over there and do it was very exciting, and that showed.
When I was over in Norway for the story for In the Gig not that long ago, 12 months ago, they that was the first thing. Oh, you're from Australia. Karen Manning is like, they all want to know what you're doing these days and everything like that. They've got the longest memories. They're all keen to know where you are, and you're still in the sport, and you're still driving winners. You're obviously still driving winners because you turned up at Mildura on Friday and another four. So you still haven't lost your desire and passion. You're still very keen, and you want to be out there driving plenty of winners.
Yeah, that's right. I guess once that's bestowed upon you, you tend to not lose the will to win. It's obviously travelling to Mildura is a bit of a trek for us, but I had to find a race for the 3-year-old basically is why we went. And the bonus was to draw a 3-barrier 1, which locals weren't all that happy about, but certainly made it a little bit easier. But it was a good night. It's hard to get a winner at times, and a double is rare. So four is, it feels pretty good to be able to do that. And then had a good day yesterday at Horsham and got another double. So it's been a good start for the teal pants, that's for sure.
Does the travel get you down? Does it make it hard doing all the travelling from Great Western?
Not really. You get used to it. You know, you've lived here a whole life and you're used to just getting in the car and going. So I actually I didn't have to drive. Grant drove there and back. So he was a bit more tired the next day, but certainly, yeah, the miles, so, yeah, they're not too bad.
Well, congratulations. Stunning achievement and obviously still knocking up records all the time. So well done. Well done on the honour and keep driving those winners in the teal pants, especially for the month of February.
That's right. I'll do my best. Thank you.
Well done. Congratulations. There she is, Kerryn Manning. Absolute honour to catch up with her today. She's a gem. She is great for the sport of harness racing, and she was inducted into the Living Legends last Tuesday night at the MCG for harness racing. So an absolute pleasure she is to have her on the show this morning. Newcastle Mile on Friday night. We will be there, Sky Racing. And then, of course, it is the big one, the Hondo Grattan we had. So it's the Paleface Adios this Saturday night. I received a phone call from Daniel Cordina this morning on the way into work. And Anthony McDonald is coming out from North America. And it's all to do around the Miracle Mile. There's going to be some seminars for owners and getting more owners involved in the sport. I'll talk more about that next week on the program, but keep that in mind. In the Gig is back tonight. We've got a special on the Newcastle Mile. John Dummers is going to be our guest. In the Gig goes for an hour, so lock that in. It's no longer half an hour. It is an hour program from 6 till 7 tonight on Sky Racing 2. That wraps up In the Gig, Cozzy. I'll be back next Tuesday morning from 10:30 on the Pace.
Good on you. Thanks, Greg. Greg Hayes on the Pace. It's 11:02, Sky Sports Radio.